For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Here we go. We're on the second Hoy in chapter 29. That's correct, verse 15. So in the first half, we talked about probably one of the more famous quotes. And the reason why it's famous is the purpose of a prophet was to convey to the people what Hashem was thinking. But the prophecies that are recorded were prophecies that have meaning to different generations. In other words, if they were recorded, it means that they speak to other places and other times. And one of the most common traps we all fall into, even when we're doing the right things, is we start doing them out of habit. We start doing them just because we've always done them. And when something just becomes a habit, it loses its value. It's something that a person does out of choice. He does with a one of the more famous explanations given. It says that when Aaron lit the menorah, it says a Yas Cain, and he did so. So Rashi says that comes to tell you that he didn't change. He didn't not follow the directions. So I would hope so. I would hope he would do what he's supposed to do. He was the Kohen Gadol. So what is Rashi coming to say that he did what he was supposed to do? So what they say is that each time he did it with a sincerity and with an excitement like it was his first time. In other words, he did what he was told to do. He didn't, something that we do every day becomes a habit and then we take it for granted. And we, and really, you know, just breathing, you breathe some fresh air on a beautiful day, it's an experience. And a person has to work on not doing things by rote, not doing things automatically, but investing meaning into what a person does, even though he's done it many, many times before. And so that was really the first half, the what they call in verse 14, verse 13, Mitzvah Anashim Milamada. And then I also mentioned to you the just the expression Hafla Vatala, which somehow became very popular today, where somebody wants to say something is like really wondrous, he'll say Hafla Vatala, a real wonder. That's in verse 14. Okay, now we begin verse 15. Hoy, we have another woe, another oy. Hamemaki me Hashem. Some people, or people, they feel like they can hide from Hashem. They do things, woe, cursed, or woe is to people who think that nobody sees. They think nobody's watching. There's a famous story, the Chavetz Chaim was with a wagon, and a wagon driver going on, in those days, that's how you traveled from one city to another. And sometimes the wagon driver wanted to stop by somebody's field to help himself to their fruits. So the wagon driver said, you know, the Chavetz Chaim, who was the passenger, he said, let me know if you see anybody. You know, I didn't want to be caught. So he climbed, jumped over the fence and starts climbing the tree the whole time. Somebody's coming. Somebody's watching. You know? And he jumps down the tree and he hides and he waits and nobody's there. And he says, yeah, you know, it comes with hope. I told him, why did you yell? Nobody's here. He said, Hashem is watching, you know. And so we tend to think as long as nobody's watching, nobody can see. And people think that Hashem doesn't see. Hoy, whoa. Those people are foolish, and those people are making a big mistake if they think they can hide from Hashem. And they hide their deeds. They do things behind closed doors. And they say, who's going to see? Who's going to know? It doesn't work like that. Eventually, there's someone who knows and somebody who watches. So that's the first thought of the generation, that people would around other people. We know often, sometimes we'll run into somebody like that too, that we suspect that in their heart they're not the same way as they are on the outside. In other words, they are two-faced. They act one way in public, but behind closed doors they're different. They think they can fool people. But Hashem gives people a sense that sometimes you know something is off. It's interesting. People can sometimes sense when a person is not really sincere, when he's pretending. On the outside he's one way, and on the inside he's another. But people, they naturally feel they can hide. They feel they can do what they want, and they say, who's going to see me? Who's going to know? Those people are making a big mistake. 16. Hafachtim. The people, they are... this is an interesting word. The word hafach means switched around. The people are like, they change their minds. They are people that keep on changing. They're not dependable. A reliable person is somebody that does day in, day out, not somebody that's always changing. And they think that they can get away with things. In kachomer hayetzer, if somebody's created by somebody that created it, yechoshev ki yomer maseh lo sehu lo asani. If you were created by somebody, do you think you can tell your creator that you didn't make me? The yetzer omer liyotzro lo haven. And do you think the one who created you doesn't understand you? In other words, Hashem made us, and we think we can fool Hashem. He's the one who created us. And then we can turn around being a creature, being somebody who was created, and say, you didn't make me? It's a funny thing that people are willing to fool themselves. They're willing to think that somehow they can outsmart Hashem. That's the feeling that he had of that generation. So that was going on during his time, but he mentions in verse 17, Hello, Od Mat, in a short while, things will change. Mizar. It means like in a short while, Vishav Levanan Le Carmel, the Carmel Le Yar Yechashif. He's predicting that things will change. History goes through good times and bad times. They go through times where the wicked seem like they're getting away with things, and then it switches around. And the kingdom of Israel went through that as well. We had good kings and bad kings. And he said that the people of that generation, they were fooling themselves. In front of everybody, they acted a certain way, but behind closed doors, they weren't the same. But he said, in a little while, it will change. And he was referring to the next king that was coming up, Chizkiyahu. The previous king Ahaz, Chizkiyahu's father, was wicked, and then the next king, the Chizkiyahu, would launch a teshuva movement. He would switch things around, and he was the one that instituted education for everybody. He put the sword in front of the study hall, and he said, if you want to study, good, but if you don't, this sword is waiting for you. And it worked. That's when the people became the people of the book. That was he turned the institution of universal study and study of Torah, brought the people back to Hashem during his time. So he tells the people of the next generation, sometimes a person feels like they live in such a challenging times that it'll never get better. And he says, don't worry, things change very quickly. In our lifetime, we've seen lots of changes. And there's been a lot of, everybody's had situations in life that were very challenging. And in a short while, things totally changed. Hopefully for the good, right? But life is full of changes. The shovel of Nan LeCarmel, the Carmel LeYar. He says the Lebanon will turn into the Carmel, and the Carmel will turn into the forest. The Lebanon was usually the trees, the cedars of the Lebanon. That was usually that would change into the fields, and the fields would change into the trees. The wicked people this time who are on top, they are going to be out. And then the people on the bottom, they're going to be on top. And interesting things are going to happen. The Shema Bayamahu Acharation, the people that are deaf, the people that don't seem to get the message, they're going to listen. Sometimes people are not ready to hear something at a certain time, and then at a different time it goes in. You should never give up. You never know when something will go in. The word cheresh in Hebrew refers to somebody that can't hear. So the deaf will hear. V'sham v'yamahu. Don't worry, eventually they'll hear. Divrei Sefer, they'll hear the words of the book. The learning will go in. And then the people that are deaf will hear, and the people that are blind will see. U'me'ofu mechoshech eini avirin. And out of darkness, the blind will see. So the same society we live in today where people don't seem to get the message and they don't seem to see it. In a short while it'll change and amazing things will happen. Verse 19, and what will happen at that time? V'yasu anavim b'Hashem. The humble people, they will be the ones that rejoice. It's interesting, this book calls them those who suffered. An anav, though, is typically someone who's humble. Somebody who doesn't think much of himself, doesn't lord over others. The Rashi says the patient people, the people that have patience. Sometimes people can't wait. Things look really not so good. When that time comes, those that are humble, they are going to be the ones that are going to be happy. The Yaswa Navim Bashem Simcha. Those that were humble, or those who suffered, then they will come to great joy. And what about the people that were poor? Bevyoni Adam and the poor people. Bekadosh Yisro Yagilu. They're going to be singing happy songs. Better times are coming. That's always the eternal optimism of the prophet. Even though we're in the middle of an oi, it doesn't mean that things won't get better. But it requires that the people that are humble, not the people that walk around arrogant, but the people that are humble, those are the ones that are going to rejoice. 20. What happens to the tyrants? Ki ofis oretz. Oh, they'll be gone. The kol aleit. What about all the scoffers? There are a lot of naysayers, a lot of scoffers. And we talked about that the Jewish people is full of humor and full of optimism. But there's a difference between humor and scoffing. Scoffing is like, it's not just humor, it's like knocking people down. It's like, it's never good enough. There's a fine line there that a person that's humorous, that makes people happy, that's a good thing. That makes the world a better place. If you can cheer people up, that's great. Whereas somebody that scoffs, he doesn't make people happy. Our society doesn't get that. In comedy, you'll see that. Sometimes people make people laugh by making fun of people and hurting people. If you can cheer people up, that's wonderful. But it's not scoffing. Scoffing is a certain kind of laughing that it takes people lightly, or you make people laugh at someone else's expense. And that'll be gone. Nixuko shokte oven. And all those that were out to commit violence, those are going to be gone. So, again, he's telling us that times are going to change very quickly. And the people that don't see it now are going to be able, even people that were deaf and blind, they'll be able to hear and they'll get the message. And the poor, the weak, the suffering, those are the ones who are going to be on top. Whereas the terrorists and the strong people, those are the ones who are going to be cut off. The people that were lording over others, the tyrants, he calls them. 21. Who else are the bad guys? So, 21. He's going on the list of the bad guys in his society. Nachte Adam Bedavar. People that cause people to sin with words. So, this we're somewhat familiar with because the leading rabbi of the last generation, who they call the Chafetz Chaim, went on a campaign to convince people that you got to be careful what you say. And not only that, not only to convince you have to be careful what you say, but that's really what the Torah itself emphasizes that in many places. And that didn't come automatically. In other words, there were a lot of people, they kept kosher, they didn't work on Shabbos, but they would stab you in the back. You know, they would say things, they would gossip, they would hurt people's reputations. And he really tried to make people aware that words really harm people. And the Torah really wants us to be careful with our speech. And it's very, very significant. And if you look on Yom Kippur when we confess our sins, I think a third of all the sins have to do with speech, things we say. And most people, we're not used to that in America. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But that's just not so. There are so many times in life where people say the wrong thing or they say something hurtful, and it makes a difference. It does. Words count. So people that cause people to sin with words. Now, every generation, there are people who raise the alarm. There are people that rebuke. There are people that Hashem puts that in human nature, that there are those that see wrongdoing and speak up. So So what happens? In fact, they've done studies. They're trying to figure out what happened with the Nazis. You know, how they were so evil. What happened to those that in society that would have spoken up? Were they there? So we tend to blow up those stories. I everybody talks about the righteous Gentiles and that. And they do deserve a huge amount of credit because, but sometimes a person gets the wrong view when you see all these righteous Gentiles to the people that went through it. They couldn't find them. They couldn't find too many of them, of those righteous Gentiles. But they weren't enough people that spoke up. But because of that, those that did are so unique. So most of us are familiar with the story. There were a small amount of Germans who spoke up and ended up in the concentration camps. And they did, there were some. You know, there were some that had a conscience. As much as we don't like the Germans, there were those that tried to speak up, but there weren't enough of them. There weren't, but that's the... what happened when people spoke up, when people said there's something wrong? People tried to mess them up in the gate. So I think by the gate means they tried to keep them from ever getting, in society, the tyrants always get a hold of the printing press. They always get a hold of the media because nobody can criticize them then. If they control the media, then who's going to... They know that if the media can say that in a free country where you can say whatever you want against someone's doing something wrong, eventually that could take somebody down. That could take a leader down. So the dictators, that's the first thing they do is they get control of the press. They make sure that nobody can speak against them. And so they try to stop people from rebuking them. So that generation, when somebody tried to rebuke them, they cut them off at the gate. I think it means from the get-go. You know, like when you have a horse race, if the horse stumbles at the gate, then the whole race is gone at the beginning. If he stumbles on that first lap, what do I know about horse racing? But I heard that expression. But that's what the people would do, is they would try to keep the rebukers. Sometimes if you jump on somebody when they try to make a suggestion, so then they're not going to make too many more suggestions. And that's a problem. In other words, if you have people around you that are afraid to speak up when something's wrong, then you'll never learn from that. You'll see with the Jewish kings, they always had a prophet that came and told them off when they were doing something wrong. Because they, unlike other kings where everybody was telling them that they're God and that they're the greatest, the Jewish kings had somebody telling them, you could do better, you have to do more. You know, a person should encourage. There's a story that the Vilna Gaon hired a rabbi to rebuke him. He said, since I'm a big scholar, nobody wants to tell me when I do wrong. So I need you to come and tell me off. Come on, find something. He said, well, what am I going to say? You do all the mitzvahs, you study, what am I going to... So he thought a little while, and he said, this was his rebuke that he gave to Vilna Gaon. He said, it's easy to be a Gaon in Vilna. Why don't you go out into the marketplace and see if you could still be so righteous? But the story, whether it's true or not, but the concept that we really need to have people that will tell us when we're doing something wrong, that we're... I once left my lights on in my car, and someone did me a big favor. He said, I left my lights on. I wasn't angry with him. He saved me. I would have had to get a charge for my battery. My car would have been stuck. And there's no... We need people that can criticize us. We need to create a culture that... Not criticize. Sometimes our parents could do that, and we knew it was out of love. They tell it to us. But we need to be open to the idea that if somebody wants to give us a suggestion, we don't jump on them. We don't stop them. But in that generation, it wouldn't get out the gate. As soon as it started, the mochiach, somebody tried to rebuke them, they ran them out of town. The yad b'to tzadik. And they tried to confuse the righteous. So those were the wicked people that existed in his time. So l'chein, therefore, 22, ko'amar Hashem, el beis Yaakov. That's an interesting expression. So we had a bad generation followed by a good generation, and the good generation was going to fix up the evil deeds of that generation. We have a tradition that they almost brought the Mashiach, that they almost fixed up everything so well that the mankind's problems would have been solved, but it didn't quite make it. But it was close. A few times in history we've had that where there's been people have fixed up the sins of the previous generation. He makes an interesting expression about the way it fixed it up. He says, therefore Hashem says, Obeis Yaakov, Asher Poda Es Avraham. It says, the house of Jacob saved Avraham. Lo Ata Yevosh, Yaakov, Lo Ata Panavya, you won't have to be embarrassed, and you won't be ashamed. Now, it's an interesting thing. What does Yaakov have to do with Avraham? Yaakov was Avraham's descendant. So, the thing that Chizkiyahu did when he fixed his generation was he worked on the kids. He instituted education for everyone. And he understood that if the children are righteous, if the children are taught the right way, then they'll save the generation. And Avraham, who was a very righteous person, and he was thrown in a fiery furnace, he was saved from that furnace, he was redeemed, so to speak, because he would produce children like Yaakov. He would produce future generations. And so here also the people would produce generations of righteous people in the future. So it says Yaakov redeemed Avraham. That was because Avraham would instruct his children to follow in his ways. That's why Avraham had to be saved, because they knew that as long as he was alive, he would make sure he would take care of the future. There were many Jews, by the way, that they themselves weren't personally observant, but they were deeply committed to the future of the Jewish people, meaning that they wanted to make sure that the next generation, they in many cases, they took care of the schools and they took care of the shuls. And they themselves weren't so observant necessarily, but it was somehow infused in them on that importance of we have to make sure that Judaism will exist for the future and that the youth will have a place to learn, a place to study. The challenge we run into now is that somehow they were that way, but their children, that some of the current generation doesn't necessarily feel that way. And so a lot of the wealthy Jewish people, they support the museums and the universities and the hospitals. And some of them support the Jewish institutions also, but it's not the primary focus anymore of a lot of the leading wealthy people. That's a shame, but because there were times when, and there still are some that are deeply committed to making sure that that Judaism will be here for the future generations. So he's saying over here that Avraham was saved because he was going to produce a Yaakov. 23. Ki barosi yaladav masa yada. He will see his children. He will see the children that will be born that he's created. The kirbo. Yakdishu Shmi, they will sanctify Hashem's name, Vikdishu Es Kadosh Yaakov. And they will make us proud, the future generations. And that's we all have to work for that, to work on making sure that the Jewish people have a bright future, that we'll have the work on those institutions and those groups to make sure that the community stays viable and that they'll have that education. That's Elokei Yisrael, and that those generations will worship the God of Israel. They won't worship strange gods. They won't go to other religions. They'll be proud of their religion. They'll be proud of the God of Israel. 24. The Yodo Toei Ruach Bina. And those that are confused, they'll get Bina. They'll get understanding. Sometimes it's an interesting expression. Toei Ruach means they're confused with the wind. Ever notice people follow a wind? You know, when they see which way the wind is blowing, and they follow this wind, and they follow that wind. You know, we notice that in society, that every now and then, all of a sudden, you know, there's a certain wind comes along and everybody's doing this, and then the wind blows in the other direction, and then it goes, you know, the people kind of, Yoda, Toei, Ruah, those people that go after the winds, they'll finally get some Bina. They'll get some understanding. That's a certain wisdom. And what about the Roganim? You got the grumblers. There's always grumblers out there. There's always people they live their lives without happiness. They're always grumbling. So they will yomadu lekach. They're going to learn instruction. And so that's the message that he wants to give. Okay, we're going to start. Actually, I can't go too far. My book ends in we'll start the next chapter just because we have five more minutes. But so we'll just summarize. He predicts it's a very nice future prediction about what would happen in Chizkiyahu. That first of all, that things change, and that there are people that live through very difficult times, and the times changed, and that's what would happen then when Chizkiyahu would come. And he also mentions the idea of the that there were people who either sinned by the use of words or by not allowing people to help them improve, by not listening to people who wanted to rebuke them, or by confusing or quieting the righteous people. So therefore, Hashem says the future generations, their zeal in fixing the educational system and making sure that all the children were learning, that's what would save the next generation. And that's what Chizkiyahu did. And he mentions that idea over there, that that they guaranteed the future by making sure that the children were learning the Torah and that they were would be loyal to it. Okay. Chapter 30. Hoy bonim sorim. He now refers to, goes back to his generation. See, we read them as if these were all taking place the same day and the same time. And these were said years apart to different themes and different, they're just all coupled together in the same book, but it's a different thought, different. He was going to the people of Yehuda during the time of Sancheirif. Sancheirif was one of the world powers of Assyria, and he conquered most of the land of Israel except for Yerushalayim. Eventually his armies would be halted around the siege of Yerushalayim. What were the people thinking when he was coming? Why did we deserve that most of the country would be overrun? So when Hashem sends an enemy against us, it's to get us to do teshuva and to come back to him. But instead of coming back to Hashem, the people look to Egypt. And it's one of the ironies, because Egypt was the first country, the Arab country, to make peace with Israel. And a lot of people were counting on Egypt. You know, the peace treaty with Egypt is worth giving back all the land, because once we have peace with Egypt, all the Arabs are going to love us, and that's going to solve all the problems. And if you look back, that's what people said. And even though they gave back things that, they gave back all the oil. Israel would be a wealthy country today if they kept the oil in the Sinai. And they didn't want to let Egypt take charge of the Sinai because the terrorists would go there. Well, they're there now. You know, there are many things that they did because they assumed that once we have Egypt, that will save everything. And it didn't. Historically, the message is that when Hashem is we're not acting right, and Hashem sends enemies against us, that we should change our ways, and instead of changing our ways, we're calling on Egypt for help. And so that's really what the problem was, that the people had said, you know, if Hashem is angry with us, and Hashem gave us the land of Israel, and he wants us to change, maybe there are things we can fix. Can you imagine if in Israel, instead of spending, if they took half the defense budget and they used it instead to improve their society? You know what? You know, the billions and billions of dollars. Now they can't do that because you have to be practical. You can't. They live in a very tough part of the world. But to some extent, Hashem, when we face our enemies, wants us to try to not just look at the fact that we have an enemy, but why is Hashem doing this to us? What does Hashem want from us? And so he says, "Woe or oi to my children that are sorrowing. They turn away." And they turn away and they need advice. Lasus Eitza, but you know what? Velo Mini, they don't ask me. They go every other place, but they don't look to me. From Nisoch Masecha, and they will get a leader, Velo Ruchi, without my spirit. They need leadership, they need advice, but they go in the wrong place for it. Laman Sofos Katasa, and instead of taking care of their sins, they add more sins. That was the problem. What is it that they do? Verse 2, Hochem Loretis Mitzrayim. They're going back to Egypt. We've been there, done that, but they were relying on Egypt, which was not, you put your trust in Hashem. You can't put your trust in that the Gentiles are going to save us, that the Gentiles are going to help us. You can't put your trust in that. Well, Pivlo Sholu, and they didn't ask. They had a chance to ask. Prophets, La'oz Mus Paro. They think Paro is going to be the one to save them. And it's such a, you know, after everything the Jewish people have been through, to go think that Paro somehow was going to be our ally. There's a lot of irony. You know, what is it? You know, the 10 tribes split up, and what do they put as their god? They put the golden calf. You know, didn't we have enough experience with the golden calf? You know, here the Jewish people is in trouble. Where do they go? They go to Paro.
Paro was not our friend. He took us in and then he turned on us. So what is it that we sometimes we don't learn? In other words, we go back. A person goes back to his folly. That's human nature. That sometimes a person makes a mistake, and if he's not careful, he commits the same mistake again in a different form. That's just a. So it's a challenge that the Prophet is trying to get people to wake up and not not go back to the same old issues. Why can't they see? Why don't they open their eyes? So we daven to Hashem that we shouldn't be blind. That we should see. That we should know what to do, and that we shouldn't go back to our mistakes, and that we should. If a person prays that way, in other words, he asks Hashem, if I'm doing something wrong, help me not do it again. I want to improve. I want to be better. So then Hashem, that if a person thinks that way, then Hashem will help him. But some people they just go blind. They don't think. They just go like out of habit, as we said. We get used to habits. We get used to just. And so we really need help. We need to look to Hashem that we don't do things out of habit, and that we find the right direction, and that we don't fool ourselves. And so that's ultimately the message.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.